This church at Thessalonica was very dear to the heart of Paul the Apostle. And by the church here, I do not mean a building. He wasn't in love with the building. They didn't even have church buildings in those days. They met in homes and out in the field and wherever they could. But by the church is meant the people. And he dearly loved these people. Had a heart for them. Matter of fact, 5 times in these 2 epistles, he thanks God for them. Here in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. He's not talking to Adam's race. He's talking to all the saints, all the believers here. And then in chapter 2, in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. And then chapter 3, in verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. And then in the second epistle, chapter 1 and verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. And then in chapter 2 and verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So 5 times he thanks the Lord for these people. He repeatedly calls them brethren. And he repeatedly refers to them as beloved of the Lord. We are living today with a religious world that's got so much going on. They get along just fine without the very things God warns us not to neglect. And I'm thinking of doctrine. The word doctrine as used in the New Testament. It means our teaching, our instruction, what we believe, what we stand on. Doctrine. I've heard preachers say we don't emphasize doctrine. We just preach love. Multitudes are going to hell, but God loves them. He's not doing anything about it, but he loves them. He'd like to save them, but they won't let him. He loves them. Poor old God can't get much done in this day and time. Well, that's just not so. People don't believe the Bible. And the way many of them operate, they don't even need a Bible. In Acts 2:42, on the day of Pentecost, Luke says 4 things about those who were regenerated that day. He said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. 4 things. And the first thing on the list was doctrine. In 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul wrote to Timothy, but thou hast fully known. And he names 9 things. Doctrine. My manner of life. Purpose. Faith. Long-suffering. Charity. Patience. Persecutions and affliction. He said, you know all this about me, Timothy. But again, the first thing on the list is doctrine. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul wrote, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Four things. And once again, doctrine is the first thing on the list. So what we believe, why we're here, what we stand for is so very important. And my subject this morning is here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, the glorious doctrine of election. Paul says to this church, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Two words in this brief verse always go together. Beloved and election. God elected His people in eternity past because He loved them. And because they're His elect, He continues to love them. Because His love is not something that's spurious or changing. He hath loved us with an everlasting love. You might wonder, well, now, did He not take into account all that we would do to violate His love? He certainly did. He certainly did. But what you do, have ever done or ever shall do, don't change Him. You see, He didn't just see you and I that we'd fall in the ditch a few times along the way. Oh, no. He saw our whole life as nothing more than a sewer of corruption in this flesh. And apart from loving us in Christ, His Son, He couldn't love us at all. He couldn't. He just couldn't. Without ceasing to be holy, without ceasing to be God, He just couldn't like and love the likes of you outside of His Son. He loved His elect in His Son, and it's everlasting love. Whom God loves cannot perish and cannot go to hell. If He ever loved you, He still does. If He ever loved you at all, He loves you enough that you live as long as His Son lives. This blessed and glorious doctrine of election is the very thing that separates us this morning from almost every other congregation in this county. And it is my business that you understand it clearly, what the Bible says about it, and how important it is to our faith and our worship. To believe God's word concerning this doctrine, as most people don't, but to believe this does not make us better than anybody else. It does make us more blessed than many. More blessed than many. A building full of people is very desirable for any preacher. A church full of talent is very desirable. A church full of children is a very precious thing. It thrills me when they walk in. Tyus thinks he's grown, but he's still a children. Abigail and Rebecca, these young ladies come in this morning. So precious in our midst. And I confess to you, your pastor grieves over these things. But to have been blessed to know and believe the truth of God's word is greater blessing than anything else and everything else. I don't want to believe a lie about the gospel of God's Son. I just don't. And most people don't mind believing a lie. Most people are content with it. I'm not. So what is Bible election? What does Paul mean when he says to this church, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God? What is it? It is the work of God alone, who before time, in eternity past, has chosen a people, a specific number of Adam's fallen race, before the race was even created, a specific number to be His children and to be the subjects of everlasting life. If God elected everyone, everyone would be saved. It is impossible for one of God's elect to perish. You say, what if they don't believe? The same God that elected brings you to believe. Election don't save us. Christ saves us. But God's elect are brought by the Holy Spirit to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in Him, and to rest in Him. Rest all our hopes of eternity and everlasting life on Him. So don't listen to the religious lie that takes salvation out of God's hands and puts it in your hands. There's nothing you can do to twist God's arm in the matter. Don't listen to the so-called fairness issue that election is unfair. Our father Adam, as it were, shook his fist in God's face and rebelled. And he didn't just do that as an individual. He did that as a federal head. We were all in him. When he shook his fist in God's face and said, I don't need you. You did it. And I did it. We're fallen in Adam. And if God puts us all in hell, He's fair. If He takes us all to heaven, He's fair. If He takes some to heaven, He's fair. And that's what He's purposed to do. And that's what His Word teaches. That He has an elect people. Someone asked, well, now does election mean? And a lot of times they'll put it in these words. Does election mean that God predestinated some to go to heaven and some to go to hell? He didn't have to predestinate anyone to go to hell. Adam started a campaign that we all go to hell. And every last one of us voted yes. We're with you. Not only in Adam then, but we've voted with Adam ever since in our old nature. Yeah, we can make it without God. And if God don't interfere in an individual's life, if He didn't take the initiative to change our lives, we'd still be voting yes today. Yes, we can make it on our own. We don't need God. Let's all forget God. So election is God's mercy and grace that's decreed and determined that His elect people are not going to hell. He's the one determined that. I'm so glad He did. I'm so glad. You say, what about whosoever will? What about it? It's true. Whosoever will may come. But by nature, no one will. There is none good. There is none that seeketh after God. By nature, everyone prefers to ignore God till it's time to die. And many have said, then I'll get serious. But may I say, left to yourself, you'll never get serious. Left to yourself, you'll still die. You'll still be running the other way when you die. From God, not toward Him. Election. A dear black preacher, D.J. Ward, from Lexington, Kentucky, who went to be with the Lord in 2008. He said this, and I put this on the back of the bulletin. He said this in a sermon I was listening to. Were it not that God had chosen some, heaven would have none. And then he got loud and repeated it. Were it not that God had chosen some, heaven would have none. For if He hadn't chosen you, you certainly would not have chosen Him. We love Him because He first loved us. The reason these church doors are open today is because of election. The reason any one of us has any heart for God at all is because of election. The flame of His love, the flame of His love for His own cannot be quenched by the foolishness and the unbelief of His own. Apart from Him, we're all nothing but a bunch of quitters. Say, oh, I'll be hanging there when the going gets tough. Yeah, well, it don't have to get too tough. It's done got too tough for me many times over. But I'm giving God the credit. God's the one to be praised that they hadn't turned this into a nightclub. And by God's grace, they're not going to. As long as I'm able, I'll be standing here preaching to you that God is God. God is God. He keeps us. He never saved us to watch us get home on our own. He saved us to bring us home. And He will. And He will. Notice here in verse 4 that election belongs to God. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. It's called the election of God because He's the only one who votes in that election. Did you ever hear of an election where there was just one vote cast? Well, that's God's election. One brilliant preacher said, God voted for me. The devil voted against me. And I cast the deciding vote. No, this is God's election. Oh, Brother Caldwell, B.B. Caldwell. He said the devil was not a registered voter. And you were too young to vote. So I guess it's just whatever God wanted to do. That's how it's always been and will always be. It's God's election. It's God's election. When you listen to any word except God's word and take salvation out of God's hands, you're on the wrong road. And I encourage you this morning to go home and read Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus went to Nazareth, His hometown. The Bible says where He had been brought up. And they're so proud of this young prophet. Word gets around the village, just a small place. And they're so proud. One of their own. Oh, he's having an impact throughout the region. And he's coming here to preach. Back to his hometown. But things changed quickly. Why? He preached on election. This is Luke 4:25. He said, in the days of Elijah, when that severe famine was on in Israel, 3.5 years it didn't rain. And Jesus, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, preached. In that famine, He said there was many widows in Israel. Good old Israelite widow women. There were many of them. The famine was bad. And some were starving to death. But Jesus said that God sent Elijah to just one. And she was a Gentile. Well, that never went over so good. The next point in his message was, in the time of Elisha, this is the Lord Jesus Christ preaching now, Luke 4. In the time of Elisha, there were many lepers in Israel. Leprosy was so awful. In Israel, good Jews had leprosy. But said Elisha the prophet, never cleansed but one, Naaman, a Syrian, a Gentile. He was captain of the army of a long time and fierce enemy of Israel. The Bible said the Lord by him had given victory to Syria many times. And there's many people in Israel with leprosy. And in the sovereignty, the providence, the will of God, the prophet Elisha just cleansed this one. A Gentile military captain. What am I saying? You can't tell God what to do. You can't tell God who to love. You can't tell God when he's wrong. He loves his elect. And they're made up of every kindred, nation, and tongue. I've already talked about election springing from God's love. It's not our right to decide who God loves. He said, whom he loves, he chastens. Well, I think that leaves some folks out. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It's not in our ability to make him love anybody. But he declares clearly in Scripture his love and his hatred. Romans 9:15, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I love who I love, and it's my business. It's what God says. And that's his right. Romans 9:13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Was God wrong to love Jacob? No. Was God wrong to hate Esau? No. Would he be wrong to hate you? No. Is he wrong to love you? No. He's never wrong. He's never wrong. Now, election is unconditional. It's unconditionally God's choice. If you could do anything to make him choose you, it wasn't really his choice. It was yours. You manipulated him into loving you and choosing you. That cannot be. Romans 9, concerning Jacob and Esau, verse 11, the children being not yet born, having done neither good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Jacob is in, Esau is out, before they're ever born. Is God wrong? No. No. If you reject this book, if you don't give God the right to put you in hell, he will put you in hell. Because God's elect are brought to understand and to confess that that's exactly what we deserve. God's choice is unconditional. Some explain election like this, that God looked down through the pages of time. He's got this telescope vision. He can see through all the generations. He looked down through the pages of time and he saw you behave a little better than somebody else and said, I'm going to pick him. I'm going to pick her. She behaves a little better. He behaves a little better than the average bear. No, no. If you're chosen, God never looked at you at all. He looked at his son. And he sees his chosen in his son. And that's the only hope any of us have. That's why we continually sing and preach that we're chosen in Christ. Ephesians 1:4. Before the foundation of the world. Dear old preacher Henry Mahan used to ask, did you choose God or did God choose you? He chose me. When did he choose me? Before the foundation of the world. Mr. Spurgeon said if he hadn't chosen me before I got here, I'm sure he wouldn't have after I got here. And then Mahan would ask, did he choose me accidentally? Or did he choose me on purpose? He did it on purpose. Before time began in his son. It is God's election that's made his word effectual in your heart. Isn't it strange that many people, many, many, many people, just as intelligent as you are, can hear God's word and it go in one ear and out the other? Never have any effect whatever in their heart and in their lives. Well, God's election is what has made his word effectual in your heart and not in everybody's heart. And this is how Paul could say to this church at Thessalonica, I know you're God's elect. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How did he know? By the effect God's word has had in your life. Chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, Paul said, you heard it from me, you heard me preaching, you heard my voice. But it's the word of God. And said, when you heard it, you received it not as the word of men, You understood that it was not just my opinion. And some public speaker up babbling. No. You understood it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It effectually worketh. It gets the job done. You say, well, I've always believed the Bible, but it never really had much of effect in my life. Well, then you don't really believe it in your heart. You can't. Head maybe, but not heart. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's easy enough, and believe in thine heart, that's not so easy. God has to do that. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. This glorious doctrine of election means that those whom God has chosen, He has chosen unto salvation. They will be saved, every single one. Listen to the second epistle, chapter 2, and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, as far as salvation. He hadn't chosen anyone to possibly be saved. His elect are chosen to salvation, as far as salvation. His choosing went that far and cannot come short. Let me finish that verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Yeah. From the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Two things in the end of this verse. And this is how it works. This is the effect of election. Or the sanctification is the beginning of it. In the beginning, from eternity. The sanctification simply meaning the setting apart of the Spirit. By the Spirit. I know a lot of denominations, especially in modern times, use that term sanctification. Talk about your cleaning up a little bit. In other words, you quit your bad habits and stuff. And I remember growing up, Church of God, they talked about being sanctified. And what they meant was women had hair down to below their waist. And they didn't wear makeup. And didn't wear breeches, and men didn't smoke. That's pretty much what they meant by sanctification. Called it sanctified holy. Well, this word sanctification is used here. It's not the sanctification of you doing something, but it's the sanctification of the Spirit. God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through, here's how it's going to come about, through the sanctification of the Spirit. When did the Holy Spirit mark you off and separate you from the multitude of Adam's race? He did it in eternity past. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God, the same one we're reading about here, brooded over the face of the deep and moved upon the face of the waters. And He did a separating work. He first turned the light on. Go read Genesis 1. And then He called the earth out, and the dry land appeared. And even so, in the hearts of God's elect, he first turns the light on. The rest of the world is left in darkness, spiritual darkness. But he turns the light on in the hearts of his elect. And 2 Corinthians 4:6, he shines it in our hearts. You ever had anybody turn a flashlight and right in your eyes? He shines into our hearts. And he calls us out of our bondage to Satan and to sin. And every one of God's elect responds to that call. It's the separating work, the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And then he said something else, not only through sanctification of the Spirit, but also belief of the truth. This is how God does it. The Holy Spirit sets us apart, calls us, and we believe. You don't try to believe, you just believe. The devil says you don't believe enough, but you believe. And we cry and grieve over our unbelief. We wouldn't do that if we didn't believe. We believe. God's elect believe and believe in the heart. Oh, how blessed to be numbered among God's elect. Little boy came home from school one time crying. His mother asked him what's wrong, and he told her. The other kids at school are making fun because I'm adopted. And the mother sat him down and said, "Son, you don't understand. Those kids' parents didn't have a choice of a son or a daughter, blonde hair, black hair, beautiful or not so beautiful. Those parents had to take what they got. But as I've told you before, son, your father and I, we couldn't have children naturally. So we adopted you. And here's what I want you to remember. We chose you. We elected you. You're the one we wanted. There was over 100 kids in that orphanage. And we chose you. We didn't have to choose any. But we loved you. Election is God's love. That's what it is. The church is his bride. He don't go to bed with the whole world. He makes love to his bride, his church, his people, his elect. He don't speak peace and comfort to a rebellious soul, but he comforts his own. Genesis 14, when the war was over, the Lord never met all those kings on their way home. They were all tired. They were all hungry. But he came and met Abraham. And he brought bread and wine and said, "Let's set a spell. Fellowship." This morning, when this hell-bent world has beat you up pretty good, God's not going to reward them for that. But he will be over at your house in the stillness of the night when you can't sleep And He will remind you that I've been here all along. And I'll be here from now on. I tell you this morning, I'm not ashamed of the 23 times the words elect, elected, and election are found in the New Testament. This is who God is. You can turn on your radio and TV, listen to some preacher 5 days a week, some of them 7 days a week. And you can listen for years and years. And miraculously, they'll never comment on one of these 23 mentions of God's election. And if they do happen to run across it in reading, they'll play leapfrog and move on. Why? They deny God's authority in the matter. They'd rather preach that there's something in you that's able to back God in the corner if you'll just do it and get Him to save you. No, no. And that's what's wrong with this country. That's what's wrong with this world. People don't understand that we're at God's mercy. He's not at ours. Try to talk to people. They say, oh, we have different beliefs. No, we have different gods. Our God runs things. We don't. Our God does as He wills. In all things with all people. He never fails to do so. The people who fight God's sovereignty and God's right to election and fight it till they die and drop off into hell, they were never chosen for anything else but to do that. Pharaoh, the book said, was raised up to do exactly what he did, fight against God and God's people till he died in his sin. The dangerous thing this morning, I hope I'm not talking to anybody here, but the dangerous thing this morning about you wanting God to leave you alone is that He just might. That's dangerous. I don't want Him to leave me alone. The glorious doctrine of election. In any generation, it's a chosen few. Despised and rejected like our Lord. But in the end, it's a company innumerable that no man can number. We're His redeemed that He's redeemed. His ransomed that He's ransomed. His chosen ones that He chose. Nobody's going to walk into God's presence and be able to announce what all they did. Oh, no. Anything worth remembering forever, He did it. It's His elect that He elected. The secular world this morning says nothing about this. The religious world this morning says it's damnable doctrine. They've said it to me. But the saints call it just what I've called it this morning, the glorious doctrine of election. It's the reason I'm not perishing in my sins today is because of what He's done, not what I've done. Bless His holy name. Thank you for listening. Let's stand together.